Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode.
Well, and I think back to the day that we met, and this podcast would not be happening if I did not take the time to wait until everyone left to introduce myself to you, to have a conversation, to follow up, to then continue to have conversations kind of, you know, over time, right? And build a relationship with someone new that I had no idea who you were, what you did. But you just, when you gave the presentation, you're an extremely interesting and brilliant guy, you know, with passion. And so when you get to meet other people like that, you want to connect with them and you want to, you know, share best practices and thoughts and all that sort of stuff that everyone likes to do, you know, day in, day out to try and get better. And I always remember as you would send emails back and forth at the very end, every single time you always wrote, "Be great." Yeah. What was behind the "be great" and where does that come from?
Well, it's a challenge. You know, first off, you know, we want to define that, because there's a lot of good in this world, and there's a lot of good attorneys. We like to get a lot of good salespeople. There's a lot of good people who are very good at what they do, whether they work in athletics, whether they work in any other type of industry. But great, as we like to find, is being great is being the best at what you can do while making those around you better. And I think that's really missed so much in this world today. We talk to a lot of leaders and a lot of coaches. And if you really look at what makes a great coach, the number one thing that makes a great coach is he or she has to know how to be a great teammate first. And we're really lacking great teammates in this world. My daughter just went to college. She's been at college now for a month and a half. And she was always a very good student growing up and involved in a lot of things. But when you look at those college applications or the scholarship applications, never once did it ask, "Did you make your friends better? What did your friends get on the SAT or the ACT? What was your friend's GPA?" You know, we're really raising kids to be me, 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 me. And then you throw in social media and more and more and more, it's me, 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 look at me. And the reality is that can do a lot in academia and it can only get you so far, but you get out into the real world and we need good teammates. We need people who are going to make each other look good, who are willing to make a play for a teammate. So when we say be great, it's just a reminder, you can be very good at what you do. And we know that with athletes. We know that. There are people who are very good at scoring the ball in basketball. There are people who can grab a lot of touchdowns. You know, they can catch 1,400 yards of passes in the season. But they don't make their teammates better. And those star athletes who put up big numbers, who don't make their teammates better, rarely win championships. So be great. Be the best you while making those around you better. And that's the people who win championships, not only in sports, but in business. Well, I think it really starts with, in sports, we deal with a lot of very competitive people. I mean, you played ball. You're a competitive person. At my nature, mm-hmm. I'm a competitive person. And so, you know, I always focused on me. How can I be better? What's my next position? And I think what's really tough in the industry of sports is we judge each other a lot of times off the logo that's on that shirt. You know, is this a bigger franchise? Is it a Power Five school? Is it? And a lot of times our self-worth comes into that logo, you know, and that's a very dangerous place to be. And I guess I was either cursed or lucky to see that at a very early age. In fact, when I was 20 years old, I remember going to the winter baseball meetings in Los Angeles. And at that time, I was doing just an internship with the Triple H franchise in Las Vegas. But I remember I had a tag on my lanyard that basically said attendee, which basically said job seeker. Right. And I remember how I was treated. I mean, it was like I had the plague. A year later, I was the director of media relations for a AAA franchise. Now, these winter meetings, the major leagues weren't there. So AAA was the biggest thing there at the convention. And I remember everybody was treating me so special. And in my mind, I remember thinking, nothing's changed. I'm not any better because of my title. And that just always hit me. And instead of feeling really good about it, I went the other way with it. And it really made me understand, you know, a lot of people are just striving and we're judging ourselves. So we're always looking for that next step. And unfortunately, I think it happens in a lot of industries, but really in sports, I think a lot of people have, you know, misconstrued leadership development with networking. Leadership development isn't about lining up the next job. Leadership and development is about becoming the best you, being able to make those around you better, owning where you are. But I think it's an industry that, because there's a lot of us, we're very competitive in it. We're looking for that next. We're looking for that next. That sometimes we forget that the same things that we want from our sports teams, we want them to make the extra pass. We want them to be unselfish. We want them to next guy up. We want them to root for each other and pull for each other. We want that on the field. And we're not doing that back in the office all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are very competitive by nature, you know, and I tell the story that really what happened to me was my son at 3 years old was diagnosed with autism. And he was my only son. And I was told he wasn't going to play team sports and he wasn't going to do all these things that I had expected for him. I was going to live vicariously through him. And through that whole process of really understanding that my only job in life was to make sure he could maximize his potential, you know, and not compare him, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, you know, not compare him. I began to understand I had a problem with envy, and I always looked at it as being very competitive, but no, I had a problem with envy, and envy is Aristotle calls it, is the pain one feels because of the good fortune of others. The pain one feels because of the good fortune of others. And it had run my life for 30 years. And I had to confront that. And not only did I begin to understand, I had to fight envy. I began to understand that for me to be the best me, I had to actually root for other people. And a crazy thing happened, you know, as I'm going through this evolution and this experience with our son, which has such a great ending to the story. And I have a great mentor like Lon Kruger around me, where I begin to understand there's people who, when you root for other people, people become a fan of you. Mm-hmm. And they can help you be better. But don't just root for them. Don't just root for them because they'll root for you, because a lot of people are still struggling with other things. And it changed my life. And it was a hard change. It took years. And unfortunately, you know, it's something as drastic as a developmental disorder with my son that made me realize I can't compare myself. Not only can't I compare my son, I can't compare myself. And once I began to really understand, I can't compare myself to others, just be the best me. And oh, by the way, everyone's struggling with something. Shouldn't we root for everyone around us to be the best them? My life began to change. And people around me began to root for me, and all this fake success that I may have had, titles or whatever it was, wasn't fake anymore. And I began to do things I love to do, and you get like-minded people like yourself and so many others, not only in this industry, but so many industries. And once we can get over that, I think that we don't talk about envy. We don't talk about it. And it is studied that a lot of high achievers, a lot of competitive people, that's what we deal with. And I think that runs rampant in a lot of these very competitive industries. You know, when you talk about being comfortable, being uncomfortable. And the first time I ever went through a leadership program myself, I'm 25, 26 years old, and I'm struggling with all my envy problems. Of course, I don't tell that to anybody else. And on paper, I look really good, and I'm involved with my church, and I'm involved coaching Little League and Salvation Army and Boys and Girls Clubs. And I'm running my own company, and I'm involved with the Chamber of Commerce, involved in politics, and just on paper, I look good. but internally I'm struggling with all these things. And Dr. Rick Coley, he was the first person I ever facilitated, the first leadership program I went with. I remember him saying, become comfortable being uncomfortable. And you think about that too, because that's the only way you get stronger. Think about that as an athlete, right? When you're working out, if we have an athlete go out and he's with the strength and conditioning coach and he's out for 2 minutes on the track, and then we say, okay, go shower up, you're done. He's not getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
The way you get stronger physically, the way you get better as a team is when it hurts, right? You got to get tired. You got to become uncomfortable to grow physically. And we get that. It's the same mentally. The only time we grow is when we become uncomfortable. So to adopt that and to understand, you know, there really is no perfect time. I mean, so many of us when we're growing up, I think, you know, if those listening are like me, I remember growing up, well, when I graduate college, I'm going to be this person. And then I get there and I'm like, I still feel like the same, you know, 12-year-old kid. Right. Or when I'm married, you know, I'm going to be this person, and it'll be that perfect time to get married. There'll be the perfect time to change jobs. There'll be the perfect time. There's never a perfect time. And a lot of people, you're right, they sit around waiting for the perfect time, and there's just not. And so many of us, I know, you know, one of my challenges, and I had to break free again with the envy, because when you have envy, what I struggled with is, what do people think about me? Now, maybe I wasn't as happy in a job or in a position, but the title looked good. And, oh, well, I want people to think I'm important. So there was a couple of times in my life where I was miserable in the position I was in, but it looked good on the outside. And I was lying to myself. And ultimately, I had to understand, I can't chase other people's dreams for me. I have to chase my own dreams. And my dreams, I love going in and working with groups of people and helping them to come together, working with individual leaders. Just had a couple coaching sessions today where leadership is very lonely. And I love these individuals and seeing them grow, and I love what I do. And you know what? It may not be impressive to people on the outside as when maybe I work directly in sports and they could put a title on me and they could say, oh, see him on the court, on the field. I know him. They liked that. But that wasn't what I wanted. And that was hard for me. Again, someone who struggled with envy, who worried so much about what other people thought about me, that I was chasing other people's dreams for me, not my dreams for me. And once I began, you know, hey, let's be uncomfortable. My personally, you know, my scoreboard is peace of mind. My scoreboard is sleeping at night. And I don't wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning anymore, sweating everything that I didn't do, or what's he going to think about this? Or what, and I'm not really enjoying what I'm doing. That was the scoreboard. And no one else can keep score for us in our hearts. But again, I don't know, you know, if people struggle with what I did, but I was so worried about what I looked like to the outside that I allowed myself for many years to be miserable to try to impress other people versus being happy.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.